Welcome to the land of magic. Reach out, and our after show will begin. It's the Little Witch Academia after show on AfterBuzz TV, and it starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I've been waiting for this damn show for so flipping long.
So long.
And it's so long. It's finally here.
Yay!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Little Witch Academia After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We got most of the anime crew.
Yeah.
What's up? I'm one of your hosts, and it's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Joining me, Stacey Shuttleworth is going to be my co-host for most of this, and still don't know about the status of our third member. But Stacey, tell the folks about yourself, where they can find you, etc.
Hi, guys. I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles, or all over the web at Nerds Doing Stuff.
Megan Salinas is joining us.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. And hopefully, depending on the scheduling for the rest, hopefully I'm here for the long haul.
That's the thing about the Netflix shows, is we try to get them out as fast as possible just so that people can watch them. So the way that it's going to work is we're going to do episodes as often as we can. Today we are doing two after shows covering the first four episodes of the show. So this particular after show is going to cover episodes 1 and 2, starting over in Papilioria. That's the fastest I've ever said that word.
We're very proud.
Well done. All right, so before getting into episode 1 proper, what is everybody's history with the Little Witch Academia franchise, so to speak?
Do you want to go?
Oh, I can. It's your fault that I started with this little OVA, you know, however many years ago. And I've been waiting ever since for a full anime.
Full on show.
I put it fully on you.
It was just something that came out, and it was on free on YouTube, so I watched it, and I watched it, and I watched it, and I downloaded it, and I put it on my PlayStation 3, and I watched it, and I watched it, and I watched it. It's just a wonderful world.
It's just magical.
Yeah. Like, can't things just be nice?
No.
In an age when, like, most of the television that we consume is very abusive. Like, most of the shows these days that, like, pick up a lot of traction are ones that actively seek to hurt you as a person. So it's kind of nice just to have something really genuinely sweet and nice and not mean-spirited. Mm-hmm. Just you wait, though.
I don't know.
Give it time. Right?
Give it time.
I don't know. I would like to think that this is a direct opposite of Attack on Titan. While we did wait a long time for more of the franchise, just like Attack on Titan, it's just nice.
We're on two separate pages here.
Two completely different types of shows.
It reminds me a lot of, like, not to like, kind of go too far back, but it reminds me a lot of anime I watched as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, this, it's just, maybe I'm making assumptions for later on down the road, but this seems like something that, like, would have required no censoring, you know, bringing it over to the States back in our day when every anime, even if it was for kids, needed to be censored.
Every Goku, darn!
Oh, you watch your mouth, sir.
Well, I mean, speaking to that, this is literally a magical girl show.
It is!
But not by definition?
It's a little bit, right? Sailor Moon, it's a little bit Harry Potter, mm-hmm. It's a little bit, it's just a little bit of so many fun,
and a lot of happy
things.
Sailor Potter? I like it. I've been waiting a really long time for the show to come out. And when Trigger finally announced it, they got through their Gurren Lagans. They got through their Kill la Kills, and we're like, oh no, we're finally doing Little Witch Academia. I was like, great. And then Netflix was like, hold up,
wait, now stab you right there.
So admittedly, I watched the first episode when it came out in Japan, and then I decided to be a good boy and wait. And I'm really happy that I did. The first and second episode, at the very least, because of the nature of the show, we are watching the show like a regular TV show. And we're just watching the episode 1, episode 2, and right after this after show, we're going to watch episodes 3 and 4 so that we can do a show at 7 for episodes 3 and 4. And we're watching, I watched the first two episodes in Japanese, y'all watched them in English.
Yes.
We're
going to
watch 3 and 4 in English. I'd switch it up. You know, let's see how these characters play across the pond.
For what it's worth, I really like the English cast. I thought they did a great job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to hear about it. But I'm also excited that all of the cast from the original came back.
Yes.
So similarly to the OVA, we start out in a park for a show for a magician named Shiny Chariot. I'm just going to say Chariot. I'm not going to say Chariot. And we get to see the little Akko, and she's the absolute cutest button.
That little girl is just, she's just adorable, and you just see so much childlike wonder in her eyes as this great, you know, as Shining Chariot is this great showman, as we find out later, not necessarily the best witch, but this wonderful showman that inspires this little girl so that it changes the course of her life.
Mm-hmm. She's in a variety of magical creatures, destroys a dragon, opens up a portal, and leaves.
I will say, though, like, that a 5-minute show? It was spectacular, but it was a 5-minute show.
No, I
when you know how to please your audience, you know what you need to get done.
Leave them wanting more, I guess?
5 minutes done. 5 minutes, 10 years.
Wand drop.
I mean, essentially, seemingly.
Basically.
So, episode one revolves around Akko just being a force in nature. One of my favorite things that we get to see from this character is that they leave in the little dorky moments, the little in-betweens that make her so relatable. Just the like, doing a little twirl and going, all right, maybe I spun a little bit too. I spun a little bit too much. But it just makes her that much more like, I do that. That's me.
Been there.
I just love her sense of enthusiasm. Like, she's just so excited to finally begin her steps to becoming a witch. And just like, I was like, oh, I remember when I was young and optimistic. I don't think I was ever that optimistic.
She is filled with so much unbridled joy just about everything. It's like, to be that positive in life, I mean, goals.
And that gung-ho. Like, yes. Seriously, this entire episode showed that despite, you know, maybe not having the highest self-esteem, especially when the other witches are talking about, yeah, they can't believe they let in a non-witch in this year. That's terrible. Who are you?
That non-witch.
That's the person I am. But despite that, she's still trying to make new friends, like physically climbing to get up to the portal. Getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, we meet Susie. I mean, in the shorts as well as now, just already my favorite character.
That is a stretch. I mean,
she's potions, poisons, and just looks like or acts like a stereotypical witch in terms of the cackling laugh, and I might be remembering a little bit too much of the OVAs, so excuse me, but it all comes together. But she just can't get rid of Akko to save her life.
No. She is not there to make friends. Mm-hmm. She's just like, I'm just here. I want to make poisons and just generally speaking make people miserable. And this really positive girl just won't leave her
alone. Glued, and that's it.
and especially, especially with how much Akko talks about Shiny Chariot the entire time. Especially knowing we learn in the second episode without getting too far that people don't really consider Shiny Chariot in that high of a regard, especially as high as Akko does.
Now, it's so weird finding out like that Shiny Chariot is looked down upon within the witch community. Like that's got to be so devastating to her, too, because this is somebody who, again, not only changed her life, but she's idolized for years and years and years.
It's kind of like a reverse Gilderoy Lockhart sort of situation.
Yeah.
Where, like, similarly to where a certain sect of the world is like, do the best! And everybody else is like, this person.
This guy. do we know why the rest of the witching community looks down on Shiny Chariot? Is it because she's just, generally speaking, not as talented as this initial light show makes us believe? Or is it because they don't like people who are in entertainment or people who use their powers for entertainment?
I feel like it's more, yeah, because of the flashy nature of the way she goes. Kind of that, well, that's not how you're actually supposed to use magic kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. I think especially at the school where it seems like, no, this is much more serious business than running around creating
this is an
pretty
academic
lights.
Science. Mm-hmm. Like, and you're throwing a light show, basically.
Mm-hmm. I can also imagine a person with that type of power, who knows, like, we have Akko, who is a huge fan, and just the pure cinnamon bun, but what if we got somebody that saw this power and went, I want that power to be mine, and use it for the wrong reason?
Yeah, we don't really know a whole lot about the relationship between the witching community and the regular world. Maybe Shiny Chariot, like, really overstepped her bounds when she started doing her little onstage act.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe.
I can see that. I mean, I figure this isn't a 22-minute short like the original OVA was.
We're going to have a little bit more time to flesh all that out.
Sure, right. Of course. And so Susie brings her little... hold on. I have the name. I have the name of the bird. Dang it, I forget. I took too many notes. Either way, her little stuffed bird that she has, Alcohol. Her little stuffed Alcohol brings it to life. It's like, oh, cool. Pecks right in the eye. The beginning of the magic world seemingly directly reacting to Akko and just her not having the best time. And turns ropes into snakes, makes her fall off a bridge. but when she sees... a group of witches fly up into the portal and go away. That's when we meet Lotte. How is it pronounced in the English dub?
They say it Lotte.
Lotte? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who, just delightful. Everybody is so round, and that just in the design of characters makes them seem that much more appealing and mm-hmm. that much more, oh, this is a nice person. Not a lot of sharp edges.
Yeah, and I think, again, that also kind of lends to the youthful nature of the characters, too. Like, making everything very round and very rubbery. It's like, they're young kids, and again, it's just so cute.
They have the energy to bounce around. Yeah, to bounce around everywhere, and it's not going to leave any lasting damage.
Well.
Literally, in some cases.
Not yet, but give it time.
But I love... Lotte, she's so adorable, and she actually reminds me a lot of, like, a friend of mine that I had back in elementary school who helped get me into anime, and she's just the cutest thing. It's just adorable.
I mean, there, something that I hope we hear more about, and this is looking way ahead but isn't necessarily a spoiler. Did anybody watch the outro all the way through at the end of episode 2?
I did, yes. But I don't recall seeing anything significant.
So there's a shot of the three girls just, like, passed out, seemingly just sleeping on a summer day, and you see a novel in Lotte's hands, and it's it's titled Nightfall, and the font itself is, it looks like Twilight. It's Twilight. Lotte is a Twilight fan.
And it's just I did not notice the book.
I will never forget that font just because of what it did. So
what it did to the world.
What it did to the world. It took away the... like, we had Twilight Princess, one of the best Legend of Zelda games, and then we got Twilight, which ruined the word Twilight. So, yeah.
I think we need to take it back. We need to take back the word Twilight.
Reclaim Twilight.
Starts with Little Witch Academia.
This is important, guys.
This is serious business.
Yeah, really random, but I popped real hard for that. And if you're not sitting through the intro, which, did anybody notice the skip intro feature?
I did.
Yeah, they kept trying to do it.
Stop.
Don't do that.
I like that they give you the option, especially for shows with a cold open before they go into the actual intro. I like that they give you that option. I do not need it, though, for this show.
It's a great opening.
It's so cute.
Right. I mean, and there are some shows, you get like 6 or 7 episodes in, and you're like, yes, skip, please. Just
well, especially for
right
especially for marathoning.
Yes. Yeah, especially for Netflix binging purposes. But for a lot of anime shows, you don't skip the opening, guys.
Especially as you get further along in the series and you start seeing the scenes, you're like, oh, I get that now.
Or sometimes, some shows, I love the shows that are smart enough to hold information in their opening, and then as it goes on, they'll make slight changes here and there, and then you're like, Good on you for not spoiling things.
Guys, yeah. I'm sorry. I skipped the opening.
You monster!
No,
Steven!
I don't have time for that.
No, I don't blame him. I just watched the whole first season of My Hero Academia, and like 5-6 episodes in, I started being like, all right, skip.
Yeah.
I've got to get to the show.
Well, then especially, clearly the opening's not that good.
Well, no, especially the cold open for My Hero is a recap of the last mm-hmm. week's episode.
Okay, that's
so
fair.
It's just like, all right, just give me to the episode.
Yeah, it's a direct rehash. So yeah.
Maybe it's just because I'm a huge Attack on Titan fan. I refuse.
Those are
to
so
skip
flippin'
the
epic. Yeah. So that, if it's the right opening for the right time, I won't skip it.
That's mm-hmm. fair.
Totally understand.
But like I said, I appreciate that they give you the option. Not needed.
It's a nice
right
feature
now.
In
not,
some cases.
Yeah.
Not for this one.
Really quickly, I just want a little bit of clarification from the chat. Easement is saying, don't skip the ending in episode 3. Now, without being specific, is there a post-credit scene at the end of episode 3? Get back to us. I know there's a little bit of a delay. Let us know in the comments. If you're not watching this live, we do this live! So you can be a part of the conversation in the live chat. Everybody's talking about how much they don't like Diana. We'll get to her. regardless... Lotte allows Akko to get onto her broom, go into the magical highway, and they just start dropping stuff left and right.
I did Ooh. Love that there was that moment where Lotte is like, well, I should go. And then, you know, she's just like, I know I'm going to regret this. Hop on, I'll give you a lift.
Her common sense is fighting with, like, the urge to be
conscience.
Nice. Like,
she's like, this is going to come back to bite me.
Bad idea.
But with Akko's sad face, just like this sad puppy in the rain, you can't.
I don't have a broom.
So her little whining in the English version is probably one of the cutest things
okay, I gotta go
from
back
the
and watch
entire
it.
Series.
See, like, just with my history, so I'm excited to go back and watch the show once we finish the after mm-hmm. show and watch it all again. And just, I love this franchise. Anyway, so in the Magical Highway, they get a little bit over-encumbered. They drop her special, rare, shiny chariot card and ends up knocking into Susie. That's a problem. And then when it all goes to crap, they fall off the broom. Akko slams, boom, right into Susie. And we're all dropped into the Forbidden Forest. Stop me if you've heard that one before.
I'm wearing my Harry Potter
forest,
shirt.
The oh, Forest of Arcturus.
Yeah. I was going to say, talking about shades of Harry Potter, I was like, Forbidden Forest already in episode 1?
It's like, man, we throw that out there.
They're just trying to get
every
get out
good
of the way.
Magic school has to have a Forbidden Forest.
I love the world building here, though. There's a Forbidden Forest. I know we talked about it already, but I love the fact that a transportation system for witches is ley lines. I think that's mm-hmm. such a cool little, like, wonderful little touch. And talking about, like, Harry Potter, we get the Forbidden Forest. And in this episode, we also get mandrakes, but a very different take on
very
mandrakes.
Very different mandrakes.
You don't want to grasp this mandrake.
No.
Mm. It will grasp you.
And then eat you.
But I also like how it was just a quick, like, all right, next thing, run, you're gonna die.
Did anybody else think it's really unsettling that, like, so many of the branches in the Forbidden Forest are, like, human-shaped? With, like, human-shaped
oh, yeah.
hands and human-shaped profiles?
Oh, we're gonna talk about killer trees in the next episode. Don't you
oh,
worry.
Geez.
They end up surviving just a little bit too much, but they're running. They end up becoming bait for a cockatrice, or a cockatrice, however you pronounce it. Susie uses them as bait so that she can get a feather to make a really killer poison.
Priorities. She has that.
You're going to make me late for opening ceremonies. It's the least you could do.
You got to help me out. Just don't, I mean,
you
keep it busy.
You want to be a solid and be bait for a
time. I mean, but for her, kind of getting knocked out of the ley line was a good thing, right? Because it just sped up her plan to
yeah,
get that boy.
She's like,
yeah.
This is
she was,
actually pretty convenient for
she
me.
Was going to go for that anyways. I mean, she was reading the book on her way in there. Like, it's forbidden. Like, already formulating her plan.
I'm gonna go off on a limb and assume that, like, being a good student is not Susie's top priority.
Oh, she is not there for that. I should she's very clear.
She seems like the type of students that's, like, there to party and will ride the C line all the way through. It's like, I'll make it to graduation day, but I'm gonna have some fun while I'm here.
I'm doing well enough so that no one's on my back or, like, telling me I need extra help, but
I got my own thing going on.
Especially with the poison that she uses in the OVA that just totally annihilates it's an ancient Greek beast and I don't remember, but it just annihilated she is a terrifying person in the best possible way.
Well, and talking about, like, monsters that we could come across in this world, giant chicken was not on my list of things that I thought I would see in this anime.
I did not think that would be one of the first monsters that would pop up. No, I can't say I was expecting that.
But it's a great way to show, oh, anything's on the table. Like, it's not just dragons, it's not just mythical beings.
Well, giant chicken, boom,
well,
go!
A cockatrice is a mythical being. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, not one of the ones that you would expect to see first out of an anime like this.
No, that was a bold first step. It was good.
Bold first step is in the final scene, and we'll talk about that, Professor. but Lotte gets hurt in the chase. Akko's like, no, we're gonna make it. You and I, I'm not leaving you behind. Starts reciting.
No witch behind.
No witch gets left behind. starts reciting Shiny Chariot's pledge. That's the best thing that I could.
Maybe
is a good way to put it. And you start seeing a star, 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 and out of the forest itself springs the shiny rod.
Very Excalibur like, right?
Yeah, it's a good pull.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. Anyway,
have a moment there.
Or Master Sword.
Yeah, that's a good one too. We did it. Using the shiny rod ends up escape. All three girls end up escaping from the cockatrice, opening up a portal that lands them right in the middle of the orientation. And while this orientation is happening, we get a good look at the principal. We get a good look at all of the Is that a fish?
Yes, Mark, that was a fish.
It was a fish.
In a bowl.
With a
witch's hat.
There's a story there. There has to be a story there.
I could use a whole, like, section of an episode dedicated, like, to this fish witch's story.
Dedicated.
I'm here for that. I will watch that.
Do we know this professor's name?
Not yet.
Can we just assume it's Professor Blub Blub?
Now it
bubbles,
is.
But that one here. Professor Blah Blah.
Yep.
Just write that down. Make sure to update the wiki later.
Okay, great. Awesome.
But it was cool to recognize the various teachers from the OVAs and the fact that those designs haven't changed and this is still the same world that we've become familiar with. I'm super excited about Professor Blub Blub. Like,
100%. I'd like a day in Professor Blub Blub's class, please.
What does Professor Blub Blub teach?
That's the ultimate question. Hopefully we find out. We have a person by the name of Rob in the chat, Rob S, to which he submits a proficher.
Oh, I like that. You know what? It's a pun, but I'll allow it.
I'm gonna punch you, Robbie.
I will not. Allow it.
As much as it pains me, when you have a fish as your professor, you kind of have to have a pun name. Like, as much as it pains me, I will concede that in this case, it should be permissible.
Okay, so let us know what whether if you have seen what this professor's name is.
Don't spoil it.
But if you have a fun fish pun name for this proficher, please leave it in the comments down below or let us know on Twitter. We're not ready to transition to that yet.
Blah blah.
So
I'm gonna cling to that one.
as we're ending the episode. You get the immediate idea that these girls are going to be just the biggest troublemakers of the year. Probably much to Lotte's chagrin.
She just wants to lay low.
I just wanted to study.
Just wanted to study and make friends.
Girl fell in with the wrong crowd.
I just wanted to help this girl get to school, and now I'm on the watch list. Which technically, so as Akko was getting walked to her dorm, she says to remember the principal's goodwill because she was admitted thanks to the principal's special consideration. Mm. And that's all we hear about that. Mm-hmm. I really want to know, and I wrote down the professor's name, Principal Holbrook. I really want to know why she allowed, if it was specifically Akko, or if it was just, hey, we want to let one non-witch in this year, or... Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we're going to find out.
I mean, what those girls were talking about before everybody hopped into the ley line, I feel like that's sort of, like, this is a school at this point in time that can't afford to be as strict as it has been in the past. Mm-hmm. They, I feel like they hit the nail on the head. I feel like the only reason they've let this poor girl in is because financially, I don't know, I assume some witch is embezzling money, because I feel like a magical academy should not be hard up for cash. But if they're hard up enough to, like, loosen the rules and to widen their administration or admissions department, mm-hmm. and everything like that, someone's got to be embezzling money, right?
Well, if you go back and watch the OVA, promise we're not going to reference it that much, but just because of the first episode, one of the assignments that they do is essentially a dungeon crawler where they go, they try mm-hmm. to find treasure, a certain amount of treasure, and I don't know if that's, like, subsidized treasure, or if it's...
Go find treasure and bring it back for the school.
Essentially.
It was a play to try to get more money for the school. It was a fundraiser.
No, it was an assignment. Nobody keep anything you find. It is school property. And in a moment that I don't think anybody was surprised at, the door opens and it's revealed that she is rooming with Lotte and Susie. Hey,
yay!
Friends!
Because we're the three best friends that anyone can have.
But then that professor...
How many times has Akko tried to start that up?
I imagine that first night, Susie was just like, shut up!
No!
We will never, ever, ever leave each other.
going throughout the next 3 years, are these three are going to be subject to especially strict guidance. As a direct quote. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Wonder what's going to happen.
Oh no.
All right. Before we move on to episode two, I would like to take this opportunity to tell you about iTunes. If you're watching this live, we're probably not on iTunes yet, but make sure to look for Little Witch Academia on iTunes as soon as you can. Is anybody going to try to look, or anybody going to
Twitter?
I'll
take a gander.
Yeah,
I'll take a gander.
See if we're up yet. Regardless, make sure to head over to iTunes. If you're listening to this on iTunes, leave us a comment, leave us a rating. It shows the producers here that maybe people want more anime content, and maybe that means we can have more anime shows. We've been going a little bit more steady with them. It seems that we have one season, because we had Yuri on Ice, which led into Attack on Titan, which led into this. So it seems like we're going to have a steady stream, seemingly, of anime, if the interest is there. So please leave us the comments there. Also, leave us comments down below if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're watching live, wait for the stream to end, and then leave a comment. That way they stay. Thumbs up if you like us. Or if you don't, why not? And most importantly, because this is a brand new show, share it with your friends. If you have some friends that are also watching Little Witch Academia, share the video, share the podcast with your friends, grow the family. We love having you in this. Now let's move on to Papiodia.
Yay!
Papiliodia. That's it.
Papiliodia.
Yeah, I went to Southern California. Papiodia.
It's Leviosa.
Duh. So, Akko is just stoked about everything. It's the first day of school. I got the shiny rod, and also name checks Alcohol, which we get we got a name check in the last episode from Mysterious Witch that we don't know too much about.
Was it Professor Ursula?
It was Professor Ursula, which mm-hmm. we found out in the next scene. Big teacher's meeting. She's passing out.
Which she also, you know, showed up and basically came to their rescue. How does she happen to know what the magic words are for Shiny Chariot's magic wand?
They're not bearing that lead at all.
Oh, it's...
At all.
No.
Like, it's the same damn bird. You're not pulling the wool over her eyes.
They're really not even trying. I mean, they can't be trying. Right? Like
the OV...
This is not supposed to be a surprise.
They can't really wink much harder than they're currently winking, can they?
Got both eyes closed. Just like.
I mean, you can't see her eyes. Maybe she's just walking around closed all the time.
How long are we waiting for the official reveal, then?
That's what I'm wondering. In mm-hmm. the ending of the episode, it's just a whole bunch of little fun little scenes. But there's one of... And it's sort of alluded to in this episode as well, of our three main girls and Professor Ursula out just like on a trip. Just like mm-hmm. out on a field trip, sightseeing, whatever. And since we're already talking about it, Ursula, we find out, is taking it upon herself to personally teach Akko and catch her up to the magic basics.
Which mm-hmm. I think, thank goodness, she needs a teacher. Who cares?
She does.
And I don't blame her.
And, I mean, unless they are going to try to pull the rug out from under us with, like, some sort of surprise twist as to her identity, I feel like, again, if Shiny Chariot is looked down upon as much as she actually is in the witching community, I feel mm-hmm. like Ursula probably sees a lot of herself in Akko.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Ursula is very sheepish, very shy, trips over every little goblin that walks in her way.
They're basically the same person with how clumsy they both are.
Does anybody think we're, like, even more than just a, oh, hey, by the way, I'm your idol? Hopefully we don't get, like, a family reveal.
Honestly, I don't think she'll... unless they're going to pull some sort of weird trick, mm-hmm. I don't feel like she's going to reveal that she's Shiny Chariot at any time soon, mm-hmm. because she's mm-hmm. been in hiding for 10 years. I feel like she's going to do her best to teach Akko, but unless she has to, I don't think she's going to be like, yes, it was me, Shiny Chariot, all along.
I agree. I think it's either going to have to be some really big event that's going to force her to kind of come out yeah. as Shiny Chariot, or... I mean, I guess Akko can kind of put the pieces together
yeah.
after a while, and if she directly confronts her, then, you know, maybe she'll fess up to it, but other than that...
But, yeah, she's been hiding for a good long while, and I don't... Again, it just thinking about, like, the amount... If she really... And she went into hiding clearly for a reason. I don't mm-hmm. feel like she's going to jump at the first opportunity to be like, yes, somebody... A fan! Like, it's me! Like, or if she does reveal herself, then she'll, like, immediately, like, be like, I'm Shiny Chariot, and then, like, run, and it's going to be, like, sort of like a... Clark Kent sort of situation where all of a sudden Ursula's going to run back in and be like, oh, hey, everybody, what did I miss? Like, oh, was Shiny Chariot just here? Oh, that's so like crazy.
Why did you dye your hair red? because that one of the mysteries of the original two OVAs, it was kept a lot closer to the... It wasn't as, like... They name-checked all, the bird in as the toy... As in the first opening scene at the magic show, and then mm-hmm. Ursula name-checked the bird. And with the magic world, it's not... What? Unless Alcol's, like, the Steve? or, like, the Jenny? Like, or, like... It's not, like, a common name in the magic community, is it? Like...
I don't know.
Way too obvious.
I suppose it could be, but...
Yeah. They made it way too obvious for us to figure that out, and now I hope it's just not too long before we get some mm-hmm. sort of a... But at the same time, she also sees how defensive Akko is of her past, mm-hmm. and maybe telling somebody who in the first episode spent almost every waking minute talking about Shiny Chariot isn't not the best person to tell first.
Yeah, no.
Oh my god, it's you!
Like, well, screaming, running through the halls. Like,
and if she really does want to help Akko, you know, she probably doesn't want her to idolize her as much. Mm-hmm. She's like, here, I'm going to teach you the magic that is considered acceptable so that you can be accepted by your classmates.
Mm. Yeah, it's rough. It is also in this episode where we meet Diana Cavendish. Seemingly, Lum is perfect. She knows every spell, corrects a teacher, and is like, oh, thank you, you blessing from the heavens for correcting my lesson plan. As Montserrat and I put it earlier in the chat, Diane,
That one I'll allow, yeah.
Now, knowing a little bit more about Diana from the OVAs, I have an open mind about her, and I'm excited to see what this incarnation of the how far this incarnation of the character goes.
Honestly, the most annoying thing about her is her cohorts. Like, by the end of the episode, we see that she's not all bad. You know, she's not going to try to take credit for something that she didn't do and something that she genuinely feels bad about because she made the wrong call about. But it's her cohorts and her teachers who are like, oh, you're just being modest.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, that's kind of the direction I'm coming from. It sets up this world in which it's everyone around her that is shaping how she acts and the kind of person that she is. We already know that she's from a very influential family, mm-hmm. you know, an old witch family, essentially.
Yeah, how much of this is, like, expectations right. that have already been set for her and her just trying to meet those expectations mm-hmm. yeah. as best she can.
Yeah, that kind of working extra and going overboard.
It's, yeah,
and
it's
being
like that self-fulfilling prophecy mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And with this, we get Akko's first day of classes. We've got
magic so boring.
the first shot in the OVA is her asleep in class. Like, coming from the flashback of the magic show, it opens and she's so it takes her at least it takes her to the third class to do so. But actually, really quickly, speaking of Diana's two friends, those were two of the witches in the first episode, we were talking about a non-witch. Can you believe it?
Racist.
Seriously. And we'll get to more on that later, probably. But we got language and script class, potions class with a like classic OG witch. Susie's just loving it. Just like, oh, yeah. This is my
class. She's about that class.
She's going to be ace in that class.
That's the one. That's her like ace class, and the rest are just
she's like,
baseline.
Whatever. I'll like C average for the rest of them. I don't really care. But this one, this is where I'm at.
What's happening?
I apprentice under you?
And it's going to be that teacher that tells all the other, like, people are going to be in complaining, like, that Susie is a terror. She's like using potions all throughout the kids. And that was going to be like, what? Little Sue?
She's a wonder to have
she's
in class.
She's my top
she's
pupil.
She's my staff student. I was thinking of making her my TA.
I'm gonna get her an apprenticeship after this. She's got a future ahead of her, I'll tell you what.
And they're all like, you know what? You're crazy. We're not going to correct you. We know better than to correct you.
And we also see what I hope is only the beginning. Wait, no, it's not. P.W. Gregory in chat is saying that the two friends are named Hannah and Barbara.
I think I knew that.
Yeah, that's right. They are. I knew. Yeah, Hannah.
That's amazing. And adds to the cartoony nature of every...
I love anime that is inspired by Western cartoons and then vice versa. It's so interesting seeing how art, you know, one form of art influences another. And that's just a wonderful little touch.
That's so dumb. I love it.
Excellent.
Excellent.
I hope they solve a mystery with a ghost.
Not a ghost. But then we see what I hope is only the first of many times where Susie takes the opportunity to test out some of her potions on Akko and turns her little sprout into a sprout.
Why did no one point that out to her?
Because she's the new girl!
Oh, everyone
just let her wander around with a plant growing out of her head.
No one even, like, did a double take. Like, they thought it was odd. It was just like, oh, there she goes. Yep. Like,
that's like somebody walking around with a giant kick me sign on their back, and everybody's like, nobody say anything. This is fantastic.
Apparently, the other girl in episode one is Avery. Maybe a
like
reference
Tex
to Tex Avery?
Avery. Oh my gosh. Why is this show so adorable?
Show is amazing. Thank you, Eastman, again. All right, so the main crux of this episode is that there is the Jennifer Memorial Tree, odd name, but it's Luna Nova's Tree of Life. It's one of the main sort of magical areas that all the students can get magic from, but there's some it's dying seemingly. It's reaching the end of its life, and Ursula is brought in with the other professor that we've been seeing who hasn't been name checked yet, as well as Principal Holbrook. It's like we need to fix this. There is a big issue, and while Ursula's going to figure it out, Diana, in her infinite wisdom, was like, I'm going to use my familial magic and I'm going to fix everything.
Without consulting any of my professors for supervision or
any
guidance.
Any of my professors?
Yeah. What can go wrong?
That's the problem. They didn't talk to the right professor.
They didn't talk to Professor Blah Blah.
Nope.
So as she's using this magic, it goes up and we see a face on the tree like we did in the forest. And I went, all right, this reminds me of the forest, the ones in that. There's a face. This can't be good. Trees with faces are never, well, except from Grandmother Willow. But aside from that, trees with faces are never a good idea.
There's an exception to every rule.
That was the exception. We've already found it. We're good.
Sweet grandma. And while, like, she, quote, fixes it, and already Hannah and Barbara, it's going to get better every single time, run off and like, we're going to tell the teachers that you did such a great job. And she's just like, well, whatever, wait. And then just while the girls outside are playing a card game that Akko has collected all the cards, it's based on Shiny Sherry's show.
so cute.
Did anybody else... Like, instantly, when it's like, oh, yeah, these are all the things, and she was reciting the spell, like, the stuff on the cards, did anybody instantly go, oh, she's art,
that's
learned magic.
That's how she's going to learn magic.
It'll be the connection, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just have to connect her fandom to her actual studies, and she will excel.
It does wonders.
It's also, like, there's no version of, kids, don't try this at home, please. But it's that memorization, that fandom that allows Akko to realize that it's the Papilio-dia, and it's these magic butterflies that only it's so many years until they actually come out of their cocoons.
Yeah, something along those lines.
And it's a very rare event, and using the magic of the shiny rod ends up unlocking all of these magical butterflies. And it creates a beautiful scene, and the look on Diana's face when she sees one, not only previously thinking the shiny rod was just a toy, but then seeing it actually work. She had a look on her face of like, oh my god, this is real. She's a fan. She is 100% a shiny Chariot fan. And that's not me going off of any previous thing. This is in episode 2. It's just like, oh my god, because she name checked
because
she name checked the spell as well. She mm-hmm. went, no, that's the spell.
She knew it. She knew it right off the top of her head.
Well, here's the thing is like, this is one of those things where it's like, you were a closet Chariot fan, weren't you? Like, she probably really loved it, and it was discouraged by her very prestigious family.
Absolutely. That's one of those things you can't like.
Yeah, I mean, so she just kept it to herself and harbored a deep love.
Well, I think coming to it as... And again, we're just presuming a lot of stuff about Diana. Yeah. We just know that she comes from a very prestigious magical family. It seems like it's common with characters like that where it's hammered home, and for whatever subject it is, this is your life. This isn't fun.
You succeed.
Yes. You have to get all of this right. You need to be good at this. That's what needs to happen. End of story. And then to get somebody else in the magic world, like Shiny Chariot, to be this, like, oh, it's something that can be beautiful. Mm-hmm. So it seems like that type of a character is perfect for a character like this, to be like, oh, my escape.
Well, and not to mention a character like Akko as well, like to be there, to be the type of person to be like, well, yeah, it's important to get magic right, but it's also important to have friends and to have fun. And Diana doesn't seem to be the type of person who does a whole lot of things for fun. Mm-hmm. So having Akko in her life is going to be very interesting.
To say the least.
I feel like Akko's going to make everyone's lives interesting.
Just by being in the same room. Is like, I feel like in a lot of cases, she doesn't even have to directly interact with someone. Change things.
Just being a presence in this school, everyone is like, life will never be the same.
They all know it.
Well, no, especially the moment where they explode into the orientation room, just like, what is happening this year?
This is not a normal school year.
So the episode ends with Ursula, as she's reading up on that particular pupae, seeing them all flying around, and it's a beautiful idyllic scene. It's going around the tower with the Sorcerer's Stone in it. Sorry, we haven't been name checked that yet, but it's the Sorcerer's Stone anyway.
Surprise.
Diana, walking away from taking credit for everything, looks up and her hair's like, hey Diana, hi.
We're friends now!
And not to mention that the sight of these butterflies is supposed to fill everyone with hope, and they fly over the entire school so everyone can see. It's like, aww.
It was a very sweet, like, warm moment.
But it's also, I hope it's, in the first episode, we got two monstrous creatures, and this one is just a nice tree.
It's just some beautiful butterflies. It's just to bring hope.
Well, it's nice.
And it was so interesting, too, because Diana initially thought, like, okay, yeah, I fixed it. And then thought, oh, shoot, parasites, and started attacking them. Had she not done that, like, in a way, she really did fix things. It was just when she started attacking the butterflies that is like, no.
Yeah, she accelerated the pupae getting, like, being released.
Exactly.
Or waking up.
Right.
So, she had just waited, like, she would have been right.
Yeah. All right, let's move into, before we do news, we're going to do very quick predictions. And now... I was gonna say
I'm hearing it in stereo.
I'm a stereo. So does anybody have any big predictions for the series coming up, or anything small that will happen within the next few episodes?
I feel like Harry, Ron, and Hermione are going to have lots of adventure. No, I do worry, like, as much as I love, like, the fun, bubbly atmosphere, because so much of TV is abusive, I do worry about this undercurrent of, like, a potential menace, like, being, like, somewhere further on down the line. Maybe it's too early to make that call, but I feel like they've already set up a couple things that aren't quite right with the school in terms of its finances, in terms of discrimination against non-witches. So it's like, I feel like they're setting up some pieces that maybe we'll get to explore a little later on.
Yeah, and I also think, because in a show like this, kind of in that school setting, you could have... where most of the plots revolve around a typical rivalry, where in Akko and Anna would kind of be the rivals. But I think they've already kind of twisted that a little bit so that she's not necessarily going to be a big rival in every episode. So I think that does set the stage for something worse to sweep in and become a bigger threat.
And let's be real, most Magical Academy shows rarely end up finishing as Magical Academy shows. Case in point, Ruby... Like, you know.
Well, that was the plan the whole time. Ruby after show.
Well, like, also, I mean, tons of school, like, tons of shows that, like, take place in high school or a magical high school. By the time we get to the end, like, end game, it's not about school anymore. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's to show you the possibilities of what these characters can do, and then allowing them to reach a completely different height.
Yeah.
Again, watch My Hero Academia. Anyway, really quickly, Mreckless Corazon, which is an awesome name, in the chat says, fun little fact, all of the characters are from different parts of the world. Akko is from Japan, Lotte is from Finland, Susie is from the Philippines, Diana is from Britain, and Ursula is from France. I can totally see that.
Wow. Yeah.
Nice.
And for me, I don't know when she'll officially reveal, when Ursula will officially reveal herself as Shiny Chariot, but hopefully, at the very latest, hopefully by episode 13.
Yeah.
At the very, very latest. For those of you who've seen the Enchanted Parade, I'm excited to meet that crew. We see them in the orientation scene as well as in the credits. So I hope that we get to see those students as well. When do you think Diana's going to reveal herself as a Shiny Chariot fan?
Give it a couple more episodes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they need a few more episodes to bond, or a few more episodes to establish herself as, like, this no-nonsense type of character. That way, when it is revealed, it's either, like, this wonderful bonding moment between the two of them, or it's hilarious. Like, she didn't want it to be revealed.
Like, she's got a secret poster in her dorm. That Hannah and Barbara reveal.
Well, I'm calling it now. I think she's got the card that Akko's missing.
Oh, and, like, as a sign of friendship, it's like, here, take this card.
Yeah, like, that could be part of the reveal.
I found it. Don't even, like, not like I had one.
Got it, all right.
For the card that Aqua's missing, I feel like once Ursula does reveal herself, and it's like, here, come into my office, whatever, and just opens up, and it's just full of that card. It's like, these were super rare. I got hundreds of them. They're just around.
You can take two. Why they're super rare?
She took all of them. She released, like, a couple out into the world.
The rest are mine.
Let us know your predictions down below, even though if you're watching this, you're probably watching the whole show as it mm-hmm. pertains. Last one little quick bit of AfterBuzz TV news.
AfterBuzz TV news.
So we got a little...
AfterBuzz TV
miss that auto-tune. So a little bit for this episode, and we're going to have a little bit next episode. At Anime Expo this weekend, Studio Trigger announced three new shows that are going to be coming out in 2017. First one on the left, it's going to be a partnership between A1 Pictures, the company behind Fairy Tail, Seven Deadly Sins, Ace Attorney, many more. They're partnering with Trigger on a show called Darling in the Franxx.
Huh.
It's interesting. Like, there's no image for it whatsoever, other than just the two company logos.
Just the fact that they're partnering. Interesting.
Then also, we're going to be getting Promare, which is going to be. It is described as Gurren Lagann cross Kill la Kill.
What?
Have no idea what the giant hair robots and rainbow people. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, that's going to be all sorts of insane.
Super in. And then the Down last thing on the end there with Tsuburaya Productions, the creators of Ultraman. They're going to be co-producing Denko Chojin Gridman, which is a giant hero series. In 2015, Trigger did a short based on Gridman, which actually, if any of you watched the show, it was called Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, which was one of the many Deke redubbed shows back in the day, like Beetleborgs, like a Super Sentai. That's Gridman was what that show was based off of. So it's going to be an animated show coming in 2017. It's going to be a new series completely unrelated to the live action one, so it'll be the same character seemingly, but with new stories.
My inner Sentai fan is just so excited at this news.
Yeah, I'm super down. I'm super into it. That's all that we have for news today. We've got a little bit more in our second show, which is going to be at 7 o'clock tonight. But until then, please come back at 7 o'clock. We're going to be talking about episodes 3 and 4 right here on AfterBuzz TV. But before we go, Stacey Shuttleworth, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles, or all across the web at Nerds Doing Stuff.
Megan Sleeps.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for the Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out.
And I'm the Internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I host a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV, as well as Popcorn Talk. Tonight on Popcorn Talk at 6 p.m., we are debuting Inventory Full. It is our gamer culture show that Stacey's a part of, I am a part of, friend of the show, Patrick Dees. I almost said a completely different person. Patrick Dees is a part of, and we're adding a new host to our roster, Nate Miller, who is a very cool guy. Make sure to join us at 6 for Inventory Full on Popcorn Talk, 7 o'clock for episodes 3 and 4 of Little Witch Academia. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Little Witch Academia After Show. We will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Papilio-dia!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.